No, Alan, don't worry. That one, let Joy sort it out. That one is minor detail. We finish, yeah? Thank you so much, yeah? Father. Okay. So, we just have another 3 minutes to get ready for puja. We will start exactly at 8:10. Those who just came in, you can pay your respect to the Buddha Rupang. Then make a note on your timetable. This Sunday is our gathering of Kayanamitas. Okay, 19 October 2014. It's a lunch. And the venue is Jaya 33 Oriental Pavilion, PJ. Don't go KL now. Somebody asked me, is it the Kuala Lumpur? No, it's Petaling Jaya. Jaya 33. So remember, it's lunch, not dinner. So registration will start at about 11 to 11:15. You can come earlier so that you can have good fellowship. Kayanamita can get to know each other. Then the fellowship is very important because this once a year annual gathering of Kayanamita has a lot of meaning and is very important for us. Not only as a tradition. Actually, they wanted to celebrate my birthday. I every time tell them my birthday is secondary. But if we can bring about such wholesome condition for gathering of Kayanamita to share, to express their gratitude, their thanks, and to rejoice, and to develop very good fellowship, so that they understand the sincere intent and purpose of Kayanamitas. We are there to support, motivate, counsel, and actually share our experience with each other, so that all can walk the path of Dhamma with good understanding and joy. So that's the main purpose. Okay, tonight, yes. No, we go there direct, won't affect. On the way back, maybe a bit. Yeah. You know how to come back or not? Even if you go Miss Lee there, you go until Pantai Hill. Take a U-turn up there, then come back. Then you will go into Jalan University. So it's quite easy. Okay. So those who are responsible for today's puja, please come forward so that you can prepare yourself. We got exactly 1 minute for you. Come. All those who are responsible for today, I rejoice. We sadhu to them all. Sadhu. Okay, Chinao. You get ready. Then after that, the rest will support you. Now can light the candle. Then light the incense. Then you start with the tree that has the incense, the candle, and the clear water. Then we all together rejoice with all the wholesomeness of all this offering of puja to Lord Buddha. Then when you reflect and rejoice on the significance of such offering, you recall to mind all of the wholesomeness and all of the Dhamma that particular item can give rise to, the contemplative wisdom and how we make use of that understanding to make the necessary aspiration. Okay, now we can start. Jinao, you can start, then the rest then. We can rejoice. Sadhu. Pass on. Sadhu. It's okay. I will touch it. Sadhu. 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 Rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Sadhu. No, the flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That one also. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, that one no need. Ah, then no need. Okay, leave it there. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's okay. Yeah. Then the rest is okay. Yeah. Hold the vase properly. Yeah. Don't let it slip down. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Yeah, can pass. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Can bring it direct there. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bring it direct. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You all can get yourself seated. Then we will begin our puja. Okay. We will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. We will start with Budang Pujemi. Budang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you turn to your chanting book, second page. We will chant the official Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will do the main offering. We get Ingbi to lead us the offering of like Padipa Puja. Then we will end with the last offering of water. Then we rejoice. Okay. Oh, push it up.
ปฏิปปูจกานสารปฏิเทนะดิเพนะตามดันสินาติโลกดิปังสังบุตทังปูจยามิตามโนดังกันดสัมบารยุตเตนะดุเปนะหังสุกันดินะปูจเยปูจนิยังทังปูจาบาจนะมุตตะมังวันนะกันดะกุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมสันตติงปูจยามิมุนินดัสสะสิริปาดสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตตังกุสุเมนะเนนะปุญเญนะเมเตนะจะโหตุมกขังปุพังมิลายาติยทาอิดังเมกายโยททายาติวินาสบาวังอดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกัปปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปฏิกันหาตุมุตตมังสาธุสาธุสาธุ
Okay, thank you so much. So we finish our video initial puja. So now we make use of all these offerings, the wholesomeness that we have developed. We will do a simple aspiration as per your yellow card. So this yellow card, you turn to the front page. Brother's advice, this concise puja and aspiration can be used during puja to be done at home or at any way place when you are alone. So when you understand the significance of all this offering that we have made just now, what we did was Padipa Puja. It signifies the significance of offering of light. I will read the chanting book on first. Later on we will do the aspiration. Offering of light, with lights brightly shining, abolishing this gloom or darkness, we adore the enlightened one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Then when they come to offering of perfume, smoke, Sugandha Puja, the significance is, with perfume incense made from fragrant substance, we honor the exalted one worthy of respect who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Then Pupa Puja, offering of flowers. This mass of flower, fresh hue, fragrant and choice, we offer at the sacred lotus-like feet of the noble sage. We offer thee, to thee, Lord Buddha, these flowers. May this virtue aid in our emancipation. May we also reflect and understand that our body also will undergo decay as this flower must undergo. Then the last is Paniya Puja, significant of offering of water. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this water as an offering to Thee, out of great compassion for us all. So with that, we will make our aspiration. The first one is making aspiration after understanding the significance of offering of light. We chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of all darkness of ignorance therein. Then we will invoke aspiration for offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water
lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and dose off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Then we will make aspiration on offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we had offered to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then we make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dhanaparami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Then the last part is making aspiration based on the understanding of the real significance of offering of flower. We chant together. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then now we make overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become palas or spiritual powers. Then we dedicate these merits, sharing and transfer merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Oh, good. We still got a bit of time. So now we can actually continue with the second part. Second part is before we commence our official session, meditation and Dhamma sharing, we will get Engbi to help us. You got the mic? Or still not rectify? You use this one, okay. We will invite invocation of the devas.
Devaratana Samantha Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Paritasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Paritasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Paritasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta.
Thank you so much. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the protective chant and the Dhamma. This is the time to listen to the protective chant and Dhamma. This is the time to listen to the protective chant and Dhamma. Now we will chant the official Namo Tassa Vandana, followed by the salutation to the Triple Gem.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Iti pe so bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho. Vijjācaraṇa-sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusānaṃ buddho bhagavate. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pachatang veditato vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Samicipatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho yadidāṃ cattari purisa yukkāni atta purisa pugalā esa bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Āhuneyo, pāhuneyo, dākhineyo, anjali karaneyo, anuttaraṃ puññāṃ khetāṃ lokāsāti.
We will rejoice three times. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. I will chant the Buddhang Pujemi. Then you mindfully pay respect. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you can rest, be seated. So now we can start our official meditation, followed by Dhamma sharing later. Yes. Oh, somebody new. Okay, before we start, you have a look at the whiteboard. There's a notice on top. Annual gathering of Kayanamita. This Sunday, 19 October, 2014. Those who have registered to come, you be reminded that it is this Sunday, not next Sunday. So it's a lunch, not dinner. The venue is Jaya 33, Oriental Pavilion, Petaling Jaya. Don't go to the KL one. You won't find anybody there. So if you got other Kayanamita who not sure the place, you can actually use Waze or Google. It's very easy to find. It's opposite the old Jaya. These are the two new buildings. Very easy to locate. One is Plaza 33. Don't go to the Plaza. Go to Jaya. Both also 33. Then after that, we will have our gathering of Kayanamita. It also coincides with our traditional celebration of my birthday. But this year is a bit unique because it happened to be my 60th birthday, and it also coincides with the 10th anniversary of the number of years that I came out to share the Dhamma since the year 2004. That's why this year actually we wanted it to be simple, but somehow condition just arise and we didn't do anything. But this album come about later on. For those who have time, you want to have a look, you can. So that on that day you don't have to rush to see it. It will be on display that Sunday. But you will get to witness a more beautiful one. The one that is, I think is a video where there is music, and all this will be actually shown to you. As you arrive, this video will be rolling, but there is no explanation. You have to wait till the program starts. Then later on when I have the slot to share something, then I will explain and describe it to you. So we should take this opportunity to thank all the organizers and all the people who have made this possible, especially Bresi and Joyce, and many others who helped. Then for this album, you all should thank Sister Padmasuri and her husband, Tim. They have put in a lot of great work, beautiful work, and it has become so beautiful beyond my expectation and wildest dream. When I saw it for the first time in preview, I was full of joy, and I really was very surprised that it came out so well. And they have the assistance of Mi Fong and my wife to help gather the photo and all those things. So all this just happened without planning. Condition arise, Kayanamita just rejoice and know what to do. And many of those who help out too. Hopefully, by that Sunday, you will come to understand the significance. And it is going to be very wholesome. Because this gathering of Kayanamita, which is a more important event, is an annual event. That's why I call it the annual gathering of Kayanamita. If you cannot join, you can also rejoice from wherever you are. And you are definitely part of the Kayanamita, and you partake in all the wholesomeness and the joy. So this is an occasion for fellowship. For all Kayanamitas from the different classes, Thursday class, Tuesday class, Sunday class, and some who only heard my talk, they didn't attend any other classes. So you all can make full use of this gathering of Kayanamita, this occasion, to have interaction, to have fellowship. Then it will bring forth also the understanding, the deeper understanding. Then there will be a lot of joy, a lot of wholesomeness, and you will get to witness many, many things that can give you faith, that can actually spur you to cultivate more and more. Then Kayanamitas are Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma. Then there is another type, that Kayanamita that has the Dhamma, that is your most beautiful Kayanamita. So they are all there. Then they are there because they are sincere. They are Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma. They renew their precept. They take refuge. They recite with sincerity the homage, everything. Then they have faith. They have spiritual faculty. They are heedful. They are not heedless. And because of that, they can actually help develop a lot of synergy. They can help motivate, counsel, then also at the same time, provide service and help for each other to progress along the path of Dhamma. When you can motivate each other, counsel each other, and with sincerity and love, the Dhamma fellowship, Kayanamita's fellowship, Kayanamita-ship, can actually gather momentum and bring forth great condition for cultivation. Then when you get to know them, you will get more information. Because sometimes when you are alone, you're too busy, you don't have time to attend certain classes. if you listen to the recording regularly, maybe you will keep abreast. But otherwise, with Kayanamitta, they can let you know. Sometimes like retreat or any of the sharing and all those things, then what they experience. Then there will also be opportunity for choir singing, the Heart Sutta and all those things, Pali chanting. These are all done by Kayanamitas. Then there's also the what they call Heart Sutta chanting, because we are going to Anandagiri. Then a lot of activity will follow, because after that gathering of Kayanamita in about less than a week time, we will be going to Thailand, Anandagiri, where we will do the consecration of the three great beings, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Maitreya, and Sakyamuni Buddha. And we were so fortunate because we have great affinity with Ajahn Ajahn Loh, the abbot of the monastery, Anandagiri Hermitage. And he has brought forth such great condition for us all to be there and to have the honor, given the honor to partake in all this and be responsible for some of the enshrinement, chanting, and consecration to witness all these three great beings. Never before the nature of these three great beings has been consecrated simultaneously at such beautiful place. Then I was told the latest figure, surprisingly, there will be 30 monks at least coming. And of them, they are very distinguished monks. Ajahn Sumedho is one of them. He has agreed to come. Then Prajan Sri Panyo, you all know him. He will also be there. And I was told the abbot of Wapananachan also will be there. I forgot the name already. Then there will be other rather good monks. They will also gather there. And there will be a lot of lay people too. And our Kayanamita also will make their presence felt, because we have 42. Is it 42? Yes. 42 of us. So there will be a lot of joy. So whatever it is, have faith, silence your mind. Then those who couldn't make it to the trip, wherever you are, you can join in. We arrive on the 23rd, but the official consecration is on the 24th. Then after that, on the 26th morning is the Katina. You all can also partake and rejoice, because Kayanamita Fund donate to the common pool, and common pool for the spiritual trip. We will use the money for all the wholesomeness, all the offering, donation, everything. So you will become part of the wholesomeness. You will partake in all this. So we should all rejoice. Can we rejoice now? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you make your aspiration. This is to help Kayanamita. That's why this type of Kayanamita ship is very different from normal one. This is based on understanding and sincerity that we move all this. So with this introduction, I have one more announcement which may not be so good. This is supposed to be our last session before we take a break. 1 month break to be exact. We will only come back almost a month later after my spiritual trip to Amazon on the 13th of November. Our class will resume. Then in between, we had our activity. 19 October, which is a few days from now, 3 days from now, we had our gathering of Kayanamitas. And the event to coincide with one more event I didn't share with you just now. Apart from the annual gathering, 10-year anniversary of my sharing of the Dhamma when I came out to share, also 60th birthday, then Kayanamita has given this tribute to my nature. I rejoice that day you will get to rejoice. Those who are not coming, you can have a look after us. So the clan people only got a preview on the video, but this is a hard copy of the album, which is very nice. So you can get to see it. Then the other last thing is, it also marked the 25th year of my understanding of the Dhamma since the year 1989. So these are all, you can call it coincidence or what, I don't know. But it has brought forth a lot of things that happened with all the sign, and I really rejoice. Like I told you all last year, I said this year, Kayanamita, your Dhamma will flourish. The Dhamma within Kayanamita will flourish. And really, we witnessed them. We saw so many Kayanamita making good progress, great progress. And a lot of things has happened, one after another. You want to know more, you go and listen to the Tuesday class. Starting from even before the Sumeru visit, Cameron Highland retreat, then in between a lot of things happened. Then Sumeru, then the enshrinement of this Buddha Rupang, everything just came. Then all of the happening with the puja, everything. Then a lot of Kayamita, actually they developed the connection, the understanding, and the joy deep within, and they transform. They progress so much, so fast. So all this, each and every one of you will finally come to understand, and you should rejoice and count your good blessing. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then make full use of this condition, because these are very rare. Like I say, this window you miss is going to be very difficult to encounter, maybe in the next millennia, I don't know, or eon. But this window has been beautiful for you all. I have a lot of joy, actually. So this year, the greatest gift that you all have given me was not so much of the tribute and all this album, it's your cultivation, Sana. It brings forth a lot of joy. And there is so much harmony, understanding, and sincerity within the Kayanamita. You can see many, even today you witness. Was it today or yesterday? Yesterday, you witness Sister Lian's birthday. You saw on the website or not? Those not on the website may not see. She said her best birthday in the last 60 years. When you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding, there is so much joy. And you not only celebrate a lot, you celebrate with all great Kayanamitas who are very sincere, very friendly, and who also have the Dhamma, and they know how to rejoice. So the 19th October gathering of Kayanamita will be even more auspicious and beautiful. So we hope you all can make it. So with that, we will start our meditation. I was told somebody is new. Who is it? Who is new to the class? Oh, your name? Never mind, it's okay. Don't worry. Klang, I think Michael Lu and the wife, they used to contact them. I think. You can pass over to the wife, Sito or Michael Lu. You want to give to the Klang people? What are these chanting? Chanting. Yeah. They also contributed to the donation. But you must let Michael Lu know, pass to who and give to who. The list, you got the donation list. Sadhu. Then you all don't worry. On that day, I also got a gift for you all. this one is another one. This one you're supposed to bring to Thailand, isn't it? Or you make extra. Sadhu. Very good. Then we can have one gift. Then there's another one, very good one for you all too. Chanting book. you must thank Padmasuri and Radhatil. They actually redo up the whole thing. They printed 500 copies. They want to donate everything. I said, no, we get Karyamita Fund to print. Then we reimburse. Then after that, they say they donate back. So we should thank them, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Everyone will get a copy. It's a very much improved version of what you are having here. Bigger font. Then all the aspiration card also inside one book. So you will be given one book each on that day. At the gathering of Karyamita. So if you don't get to be there, you don't worry. We got surplus copy. When you come to Tuesday class or Thursday class or Whooping Jesus Sunday class, you can collect your copy. You keep that copy for your personal use. Then when you come to the class, you can borrow from the common one. But don't take away anymore. Because otherwise, keep on getting less and less. So it may result in shortage later on. But don't worry. Kayamita, sometimes you forgot. You can bring back the next day. So these are all the things that you will receive. Then the other thing also, they have printed this one. I think it's in a DVD format. The one that you are going to see on the 19 itself, the screen. They have actually taken the trouble to prepare a very nice one. The story of our teacher. Then I think it's a DVD version, not the computer video. So this one, the quality may not be as sharp as what you see in that day, but it's good enough. So these are, you see, what I want to do is, I want to encourage Karyamita to cultivate asana. So only those who have affinity condition and have contributed towards the cultivation and sharing, I will give first, then the rest. Later when we got surplus, we will also try to give it to you. But please, if you don't know what to do with it, don't take. Just have a look. Then after that, leave it behind. Unless you have faith, you have understanding, then it will help you a lot. Then you can make full use of it. So this one is please, not for publicity or what. Don't go and simply lend people and show people. No, it's for your personal. You can share with your friend, but don't give it to them. Don't lend it to them. Preferably keep a low profile. Then whatever it is meant to be. We didn't plan for any of this. Okay, regarding the sister, you meditate before the new. You meditate. Oh, good. What type of meditation have you done? Oh, very good. What type of technique or method you use? Rising, falling, very good. How long already? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You know metta also, Loving kindness. Metta bhavana, Very good. Like that you will make our job here easier. Okay, I rejoice with you. Make yourself at home. So here is there is no formality. You can come anytime. You can leave anytime. Meditation is to develop the training of the heedless mind so that it will become heedful. I will explain later. So the purpose of our session here is they call it Thursday class, meditation class. Which means you are here to train your mind so that this mind, after it's trained, it will have the necessary requisite to meditate, to develop the understanding, to insight into all the characteristics of nature, especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. And this is what vipassana is all about. Vipassana consists of two words. We is the three characteristics of nature. All of nature's phenomena, they have these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. Passana is to insight into. So whatever meditative training of mind or whatever meditation that you do, that can bring about this insight to awaken to the universal characteristic, you can call it vipassana. So vipassana is not a method or a technique. The method and the technique is just a skillful mean to help you anchor your mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought. So when it anchors your mind, you develop mindfulness on the object of meditation, which in your case is rising falling. The rising and falling is part of your kaya. It is always within the moment. So when you are aware, mindful within the moment, there is no thought. The mind and the abdominal movement, rising and falling, they synchronize, they move as one without thought. That is the deep. Then when you can stabilize it, it becomes continuous. Yeah. Then your mind has the stability of sati. When sati is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the unwavering mind, collectedness of mind, the mind that has stability within. Then your spiritual faculties are very important. I will explain all this later. Okay, for those who know how to meditate, maybe you can start your meditation, view of the light. Then for those who still need instruction, I will give you some instruction. The instruction is mainly in the form of skillful means for those who still need to train their mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you don't have to do all this. You can skip. But if you find that it's useful for you, then you make use of it. Like I always said, meditation got two parts. First part is, like the Buddha said, before he passed away, he told all the monks, the bhikkhu, he said, we all need to strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness means to train this mind so that it's ever mindful, to cultivate wisdom. So heedfulness got two parts. Continuous mindfulness, then use it to cultivate the requisite wisdom to become enlightened. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. So according to the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths are the essence of his teaching. And within the Four Noble Truths, you go through one by one. The first Noble Truth talks about the Noble Truth of Dukkha or suffering, which actually expounds to you clearly about the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions that human being or living being need to confront if you live life long enough. Then these are the conditions that can bring forth suffering when you encounter them without wisdom. That is the first noble truth. The reality of life and existence. And the eight conditions are very simple. Birth, old age, sickness and death. When you are with people whom you don't like. When there is separation from loved one and possession. When you cannot get what you want. Expectations are not met. So in short, the Buddha said, the final summary, it is due to your ignorance or delusion that condition you to deludedly grasp onto your form and mind, or the five aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being and the consciousness, and this content that he calls suffering or dukkha, the grasping aggregate, upadana kandas. So this first noble truth is not the meditation yet. He just explained to you life reality. Then second noble truth, the Buddha talked about the cause of arising of this suffering, which is mainly craving, conditioned by your wrong view, sakayadhiti, self-delusion. So when you understand what suffering is and how suffering comes to be the cause behind, you will know how to manage your life better. Then you move on to the third noble truth. The Buddha declared under the proclamation of the third noble truth, he said, suffering need not be. We are in this world. When you have wisdom, your mind can be liberated. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So third noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed. There is a noble truth that explains clearly to you how Nibbana can be realized, how suffering can end completely. So this will bring forth joy and what they call happiness. You will be like very, very confident because this type of meditation can lead to enlightenment, liberation from all suffering. So it will spur you on to cultivate. You will develop the faith very strongly. Sadha and Virya, the first two spiritual faculties. Then when you cultivate and develop sati or mindfulness, the third spiritual faculty will arise. Then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then when sati and samadhi is there, you can have clarity of mind to see things as they are, to arise the requisite wisdom, to awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering, stay and non-self. Then the Buddha continued with the last noble truth. He said, there is a fourth noble truth that explains to you clearly about the path, the noble eightfold path. You cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the meditation. So we are here to train our mind, to develop the mindfulness, stabilize it, and use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then it becomes heedfulness or apamada. This is what you need to do. Then when you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path in daily life, in daily mindfulness, that is the real meditation. So formal meditation is mainly to train your mind. Then after that, to develop understanding and wisdom via the meditative state of silent mind. So now I will give you instruction on how to train your mind. For those who still need the instruction, you just make sure you have a stable posture. Backbone straight, relax every part. Body and mind completely relaxed. No stress, nothing. Just free your mind, relax completely and silent. Close your eyes. I will teach you a skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking, so that you can prepare your mind to develop the meditation. Most people who have yet to develop the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, their mind will be very heedless. The hindrances are very powerful. The Pancha Nivaranas or five mental hindrances: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. They are very strong, and because of that, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner well-being. That's why you cannot meditate. So to meditate, we need to develop the spiritual faculty. That's why we have our puja. This will help you. Then now, in order to develop sati, the first thing is to help decondition your heedless thinking. The skillful mean that we are going to use this mind sweeping method. Because after this we are going to take a break. So these instructions are given in more detail so that you can understand. You just silence your mind and close your eye and feel your forehead. Don't think, feel. You can detect any stress within or any tension. You just relax, relax, and relax them all. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Feel, do the same. Don't think, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you again relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you relax your facial muscle. Do the same, sweep through the whole facial muscle. Feel it suddenly relax and having a lot of joy within. Then you can combine with loving kindness or metta to bring forth the well-being within your body and mind. You can read it following me. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Radiate this well-being throughout your body and mind. You can repeat it one or twice. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your body and mind, entire being. Then you can continue to radiate this metta. May this body and mind of ours still be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones and all kayanamitas and beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unseen, all Dhamma friends or kayanamitas who are here, and all our loved ones, may they all too be well and happy, radiate this love and metta to them. Then you can also at the same time visualize them radiating a radiant smile. Then you radiate this love and metta to them too. When you can smile, you are relaxed. Your facial muscle naturally relax. Then you can repeat the same. May they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and non-trouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, planet Earth. Then also to all beings within the entire solar system, the entire galaxy of ours, Milky Way, and to all the beings in this entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you relax everything, body and mind, and come back to your facial muscle. Feel, relax everything. Just feel, don't think. Then you continue to sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, do the same. Feel, relax, then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. Just silence everything and feel. When you are able to silence, within that silence, you will perceive many things. If you are sensitive, you have trained, you may even perceive or feel your heartbeat. Then just relax and stay with it. Or any vibration within your heart area, you just silence everything and stay with it. When you're silent, you will also hear the ticking of the clock. It's very loud. The vibration within the surrounding. Many vibrations. The ticking of the clock is very loud. You just silence your mind and feel. Just aware. So the four support the meditation. I repeat, first is relax body and mind, then relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain silent mind or awareness is the second support. Then develop the continuity of it over like 24 hours as the third support. The last one is trust. Do not use thought, just allow the mind, the nature to develop the meditation, to understand itself. Then after that, if you are new, you are not familiar with this type of technique or method, you just relax every part within your heart area, like you feel your forehead and relax. You feel your heart, any tension, any stress within, you just relax them all. Then you move your attention or awareness down to your stomach, feel. Relax every part again. Then you move to your abdomen. Those who do the rising and falling, you just silence your mind. Don't go and look for anything, just silence. Feel around your abdomen area. When you silent, the awareness is there. Then allow the silent mind to detect the rising and falling. Don't go and look for it. Don't go and note anything. Just silent. Feel like you feel your breathing or your vibration. You feel when you detect the body and mind as one, you just silent. And then that rising and falling that you were become aware of through the silent mind is completely different from what you used to do. For those who are not using this technique or method, you can just silent everything, feel, relax, and pass it down to your buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. You can repeat this mind sweeping method from your leg back to your buttock. Feel, relax, then abdomen, stomach, heart, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, relax every part, then your eye muscle and your forehead. By now you are ready to train your mind to stabilize that mindfulness. You are already more calm, more peaceful, inner peace, inner well-being already established. Now you only need to maintain that mindfulness, stabilize it. So to stabilize it, you can use any technique or method that you are familiar with. If you are used to rising falling, then stay there, silent everything and just feel. Then allow the sati to develop. Then that silent mind will come to understand many things via your sixth sense. It will come to understand how upon contact, what happened, how your mind stir, how the sense bases create condition for mind contact, then how upon contact consciousness and its content come to be, and how with sati and mindfulness you're able to understand what is going on. Then you will come to know who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. What this form of mind is all about. You will start to understand the Buddha Dhamma, the dependent origination, Paticchasamuddhapada, that Lord Buddha is trying to share with you. If you are using Anapanasati, which is the one recommended by Lord Buddha under the Four Foundation of Mindfulness, then you just have to silence your mind and feel your breathing, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing, silent everything. The moment the mind detect the breathing, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. When the mind and the breath move as one in perfect synchrony and harmony without thought, that is sati. Initially, you are not used to it. This mind will wander off very fast. Every time it wanders off, you bring it back. With patience, anapanasati can be developed. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. They are also like any other method or technique. The breathing is always within the moment, part of your kaya. So when you are able to develop mindfulness of it, your mind will be very quiet, peaceful and silent, just aware, in perfect harmony with the breath. As anapanasati develop and stabilize, the mind will be transformed. You will experience piti, a type of spiritual joy or spiritual rapture. Very peaceful. And you will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it and silence everything. Piti will transform into sukha, which is a very blissful state. Then you continue to relax and silence. It will transform further into the silent mind. We call pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the meditative mind. And when that arises, you just silence everything. Then your breathing, everything, all your object of meditation become very subtle. Don't panic, don't worry. Just continue to relax into it and feel. Later on, when your mind stabilizes, when sati stabilizes, when pasati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. During that time, your mind is already in sati. That time, you technically don't need any object of meditation. You will detect the subtle breathing. Then wherever you place your mind, you can feel the vibration there. You go to the heart, you can feel the heartbeat, all of the vibration. That's why you become sensitive, and that is the silent mind. And use that to meditate. Okay, with that, I will leave it to you to meditate. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes. Then we can continue with our next session. Okay. others are still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then this is the trained mind state that you need to use to cultivate the daily mindfulness, leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because this is the meditation that will lead to the end of all suffering, that will lead to the enlightenment and the awakening, liberation of mind from all suffering. The mind that is trained is very different. The mind that is trained, you can use it, it listens to you. You want it to be silent and peaceful, it will be that, just silent and peaceful. You want it to be aware, it will be aware. You want it to arise, it will arise. If the mind is not trained, it becomes very heedless. It thinks a lot, it wanders off very fast, it creates a lot of havoc for you. You are most of the time lost in thought with the hindrance of mind. Your spiritual faculty are very weak, not able to deal with the hindrance. So according to Lord Buddha, he said, the reason why living beings are not peaceful and not able to maintain the heedful mind or the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness is because they lack the spiritual faculties. When you don't have the spiritual faculty that can allow you to develop the spiritual understanding leading to the training of the mind to be heedful and aware, the silent mind, you cannot meditate. Then the hindrance will take over. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. So if you look at the whiteboard up here, the two sets of Dhamma are clearly explained. This first is the mental hindrance, Pancha Nivarana. The English translation is here, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. Because these are the hindrance that are very powerful. Whenever you have these mental states, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative states of inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness or awareness. That is the reason why it's called hindrance, it hinders. Means pancha nivarana, not nirvana, prevent you from awakening or developing the meditative state. So the Buddha said, when you understand that you are not mindful, you cannot meditate because you have this hindrance, then you develop the initial understanding not to be deluded by it. Means these are the things that hinders you. So you have to check with the teaching. What must you do? A lot of people don't understand. They go and fight the hindrance. They try to develop technique and method to actually fight the hindrance. So they try to control the mind, focus, develop the energy field, the samatha, concentration, one-pointedness, absorption. So when you do a lot of this funny thing, you can control the mind, make it silent, peaceful, and very, very still. One-pointedness, or in samatha, mind state, or absorption. But this is a conditioned mind. It's not a free mind. It cannot have the clarity or awareness in daily life for you to develop wisdom. It will suppress all of your hindrance, all your, what they call, anusaya, latent tendency, your negativity, your defilement, your evil roots, especially the three evil roots of greed, hatred, they will all be suppressed. That's why the hindrance will also be suppressed. So because of that, you cannot develop the wisdom, the inside. Then the other thing is also sleepiness. You cannot fight. Yeah? You fight. You are using effort, forcing yourself to be awake. So when you are confronted with sloth and torpor, you need to find out whether it's a bodily condition that is sleepy and need to rest, or is the hindrance asana. Because when you meditate without understanding, when you don't see the importance of this meditation, this training, you cannot develop the faith, the sadha and the virya. Yeah? So this energy is lacking. The passion, the understanding is lacking. It will not drive you to meditate because you cannot understand the importance and significance. Just like anything you do in life, you attend a lecture, you don't like the subject and you don't see the importance of learning that subject, you'll be very sleepy when you are in the class. And it's the same. When you do meditation without understanding, it's the same. You become very sleepy. That's why it's very difficult for you to maintain the wakefulness. Yeah. So the Buddha said, you don't have to fight the hindrance. You acknowledge that they are there because you lack this five spiritual faculty called pancha indriyas. These are the things that can help you to understand the teaching, to develop the progress in the meditation. So the Buddha said, if you cultivate these five spiritual faculty, where these are spiritual faculty that can help you develop spiritual understanding to penetrate all his teaching, the Dhamma. So they will be very useful to help you to progress along the path of Dhamma, to develop this ability to meditate. So Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The translation is, Sadha is faith or confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Through constant reflection, contemplation on the nine great virtues of the Buddha, and how wonderful the Dhamma and the teaching is, and also the enlightened disciple, the Sangha. That's why we chant the salutation just now. Salutation to the Triple Gem. First is salutation to the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vichacharana sambano. So all this, when you chant and recite and you read the English translation, you will come to know. They point towards the nine great virtues of the Buddha. And they are so powerful. They are so virtuous. Yeah. And they are endowed with great wisdom and perfection. Teacher of man and God. A leader or trainer of spiritual being without comparison. Yeah. A guide incomparable in the training of living beings to become enlightened. So all this great virtue will bring forth the faith, the understanding and the gratitude towards the Buddha. Then this sadha will strengthen. Yeah. Then when you come to know his teaching is so important, so wonderful, so beautiful, it can bring about great transformation in your life. It can help you liberate your mind so that you can be free from all suffering, all misery. There is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more unhappiness. Such a wonderful mind state and life is very rare, very difficult to come by. You will be always peaceful, happy, heedful, and there is understanding. And this will bring forth a good life. So when you understand through faith who the Buddha is and how wonderful the teaching is, this sadha will become very, very strong. That it will drive you to cultivate where you see the importance. That's why virya will arise. This is spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity to walk this way to cultivate the Buddha Dharma. Then once these two are there, sati will arise, mindfulness. Because when you are diligent, when that spiritual zeal drives you throughout the day, you will cultivate. You will become very serious about the meditation, the practice and the cultivation. Then you will do your puja. Then you pay respect mindfully. Then you will train your mind. Then you will relax and silent. Then when sati arises, this one becomes the silent mind. It don't think anymore. When it's very peaceful and it does not think, the spiritual faculty will lead to the beautiful enlightenment factor and mind state of piti, sukha, and pasati, leading to samadhi, collectedness of mind and unwavering. Samadhi is the stability of sati when it becomes continuous. That's why the third support. First, relax, aware, then 24-hour continuous. This is continuity of mindfulness. Then you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path throughout the day. The last one is trust. Do not use thought. So once the spiritual faculty of sati is developed, when you don't think, when you have clarity, when you are aware and mindful, this clarity of mind will allow you to see things as they are, or experience the sense experience. When you see something, the mind is unwavering because of samadhi, is collected. You will not stir, you will not react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. And such a mind has samadhi. And because the mind does not react, stir or judge or do anything, it can see things as they are. Then it can awaken to the truth and the reality there and then. Jnanadarsana. That's why the Buddha called it the direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Not to see something through your mental conditioning, through your memory. If you see through your mental conditioning, then you are using your views and opinion, then your accumulated memory, good and bad experiences, means all of your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, emotional negativity, insecurity, fear. All these are accumulated. Then when you act according to this conditioning and the brain, then means you act out of fear, out of insecurity. That's why you got so much hindrance of mind. You got so much suffering and problem. But when you can see things as they are and understand the truth, the Dhamma, then you act with wisdom and understanding. Then you got no more of this complication. Then memory can stay as memory. Conditioning can stay as conditioning, but it will not affect you because the understanding liberates you. The brain, you can use it. Before, you cannot. Your thought is respond to memory. Every time you accumulate, it creates thought. That's why the hindrances are very powerful. You cannot liberate, you cannot free. So when sati and samadhi arise, you can see things as they are, wisdom will arise. When the spiritual faculty are perfected, the seven factor enlightenment will come to be, the hindrance will be overcome. The reason being, the moment you have sati, you don't have thought. When you don't have thought, you don't have fear, worry, anxiety, you don't have sensual desire, ill will. So the first two hindrances is gone. Then when you have virya, spiritual zeal, you won't be sleepy, sloth and torpor is gone. Then when you have faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching, there is no more doubt. Okay? Yeah. Then when you have wisdom, the restlessness of mind also gone. All the hindrance also gone. Yeah. The restlessness of mind come from your fear, worry, anxiety, from your thought. When you don't think, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. The mind is peaceful, silent, aware. It won't be restless. When you break your precept, when you have problem, financial problem, relationship problem, health problem, career problem, relationship with boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse problem, or children's problem, then it will make you restless. You worry a lot, especially health problem. Then your worry, your anxiety, your fear make you restless. You are not peaceful at all. You don't know what to do. Throughout the day, you become very nervous, very restless, full of anxiety, unhappy. That's why this type of mind state, how to meditate? That's why the Buddha said, before you really meditate, you must keep your precept. When you keep your precept, you don't violate, you don't have problem, then you don't have that much hindrance. But most people cannot. They have a lot of problem. First Noble Truth Reality. So this summarizes to you what you need to understand. So this is because we are going to take a month break after this. So this recording will help those who want to cultivate on their own. You listen to it again, it will help you understand many, many things. Okay? So now we can open up for discussion. You can ask me any question with regards to the Dhamma meditation and how to apply all this so that it can help you understand the teaching better, so that it can help you overcome your life situation and problem. It would be good if you want to report your meditation experience. Then I can help you to develop further understanding. Then from there, you can progress faster. Okay? So, now I open it up to the floor. So, anybody wants to report their meditation, you can. The mic is with Suyan. You just have to raise your hand. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question? Or you want to share whatever your experience, you can. No question. I give you 1-2 minutes. I take a break. I got to go to the washroom. Then after that, hopefully, you all can think of your question. If you are shy, write it down on a piece of paper. Then we can read it out from here. Or WhatsApp me. Okay? Okay, I take a break. Okay, so we should have some question, or somebody reporting the meditation. Don't be shy. Make full use of whatever time or opportunity that you have. Don't worry about your question. Every question is good question. You only need to arise the causes and conditions for Dhamma to arise. Nobody. So we wait. You wait, I wait. There is one question I saw. Not question. Pang Shua got a question, and he very good. Sadhu.
Good evening, Brother Tim.
Yeah, Sadhu.
First of all, I'd like to just wish you in advance
happy birthday. Sadhu.
Because I will not be able to attend your
I understand. Don't worry. I rejoice. Sadhu.
Alright, I just want to maybe report a little bit and seek some clarification.
Very good. Sadhu.
I have been trying to meditate, and I use the breathing in, breathing out method.
Yeah.
Every time I do that, and when my I'm able to like follow the breath in and out, being fully aware of the in and out breath, thoughts will keep on coming.
Yeah, no problem. Just let it
from memory, you know, so on, right?
Very good.
But I bring back and then continue to
Train this mind.
It keeps running away. So
don't worry. Don't worry. Maintain patience. Very soon it will stabilize. You see, one thing about this mind, you must understand. This mind is very tricky. When you want it to be mindful, the thought is there, then it will be very difficult for you to develop it. But when you don't try to demand anything, when there is no craving of when it will happen, you just sincerely with the faith maintain the training. It comes all of a sudden out of the blue. Then you will have a lot of joy about it. Then you realize all of a sudden, how come like that? It will happen. But when you keep on wanting, where there is craving, craving is what? Sensual desire. Sensual desire is a hindrance, no matter how subtle, it's a hindrance. Then it will hinder your mind from developing the sati. Then you try very hard, it still elude you. Don't try. Just like, don't try to be mindful or want to be mindful. That one is the thought. The thought cannot be mindful. You just tell yourself, the moment I am silent, I already mindful. The moment my awareness is with the breath or with any phenomena, that nature already arises. Mindfulness already there. So you just have the faith, patiently, just silent your mind and aware. Just breathe in. I always tell you all, don't try to know anything when you meditate. Just silent. Until the sti come. When the sti come, you will understand by yourself. You have this improvement which you didn't realize is because you are more aware nowadays. Daily mindfulness you have done your puja. The spiritual faculty has started to develop, but not stable yet. That's why when you sit, when you meditate, you are aware while the anapanasati is going on. This mindfulness cannot be continuous and full. The third support is not there. That's why the thought comes. But you are aware. You are aware of those thoughts. The more important thing is don't fight the thought. Don't become unhappy with the thought. Don't tell myself, I'm here to meditate. I try so hard. I train so hard. Why the thought is still there? That is thought-based meditation. Don't try to know, just silent. Continue patiently with the faith. That's why the faith will bring forth the way. Sada virya will bring forth. Then bow more. When you have faith, pay respect more. Bow until body and mind as one. Then you sit. Especially early morning, when you wake up. Because early morning, when you sleep, you rest. Here, a lot of things clear already. Then you start your puja, you bow. Then you meditate. Even 10 to 15 minutes is very effective. Many people have told me. These are people who never, actually last time, don't know how to meditate on, no dhamma on. Didn't even go retreat one. But they got suffering. They went through life, they suffer a lot because they got depression and everything. Then they just attend the class with the faith, they listen to the recording. Until their faith is so strong, then they just follow my simple instruction, the puja, then they do the morning meditation. I tell you, she said she do initially 10 minutes, then 15, 20 minutes, every day, sometimes twice a day, at least once a day. And she transform until she herself also doesn't know why she transform until become like that. You will come to understand all this later on. So don't try to know, develop the puja. Puja is very important. It's through the puja that the Buddha teach you the spiritual faculty. Otherwise, why he asks you to chant the salutation? Why take refuge? Why renew your five precepts? You know the significance of puja or not? Devotional practice. You all don't understand. I think most of you all understand. Huh? Maybe I explain it one more time. Well, a lot of you all are new. First, what did the Buddha say? When you recall to mind, not the Buddha image, you know, whatever you see through your visual perception, you recall to mind the great qualities of Lord Buddha, understand? The great wisdom, the perfection of wisdom and virtue. He is the wisest and most virtuous living being ever to arise 2,000 over years ago. And because of that, you have a lot of faith and gratitude towards the Buddha, because to have such a great teacher, the wisest and the most virtuous to be your teacher, you must count your blessing and thank your lucky star for having this condition to learn from such great being. So the faith, sadha and the virya will arise, your gratitude will arise. Then with that faith, your mind become very calm and very composed. That's why straight away sadha develop. Just through doing the puja. Then after that, you determine to go this way, virya arise. Then you pay respect mindfully, body and mind as one. Sati arise. Then after that, you develop a lot of wholesomeness. That reverential salutation, if you do with understanding, is very meritorious. Then your offering of this fruit, everything, dana, is very meritorious. Then you renew your precept, sila, is one of the 10 meritorious actions too. That's why dana, sila, bhavana is meditation, which you do after your puja. Then you renew your precept. These are all meritorious actions. Then you attend Dhamma session like this. Listening to the Dhamma is again a meritorious action. Straightening your view after listening is again a meritorious action. Then you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's another meritorious action. Then after that, you transfer merit, you share merits. They are all meritorious actions. Then you offer service to help out the sasana, kayana mitas, organize spiritual activity and retreat every day. These are all meritorious actions. Then you use this by the power of this wholesomeness. And these merits are not ordinary merits of donation or those things. These are spiritual merits, cultivation that you develop through understanding, through a mind that is trained, that has the spiritual faculty. And when you do with understanding, you invoke the power of these merits by the power of this wholesomeness that you have cultivated since the day you understood the Dhamma. You can add in after hearing my sharing. You determine for it to arise, the causes and conditions for you to overcome all of your obstacle or karmic obstruction, so that you can walk the path of Dhamma with ease, and you can aspire to create affinity with all the great beings, the great bodhisattvas and buddhas. And then you pay respect sincerely and you reaffirm all this strongly. Then you can also make other type of aspiration. Like what the Buddha teach you, imina punyang kamina. This will all pave the way for you to avoid the foolish, meet out the wise and the enlightened one, so that there are better conditions for enlightenment. And the Kayanamita shape and the Kayanamita fund are all tailored for you all to benefit. So that's why this type of training, you all progress differently, very, very fast on, without you realizing what is going on. You only need to have three things. Faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. Do not allow your thought to project. Then you will progress very fast. Understand? Then you come to reflect on the teaching, the puja. What did the Buddha ask you to chant? Salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Go back and read and understand them. The meaning is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Because these are three of the 9 great virtues. You pay homage to who? The blessed one. The sammasambuddha that is blessed with wisdom and virtue. The worthy one, because he is also an arahant, fully enlightened, liberate. So that's why you're worthy of respect. That's why you pay respect, reverential salutation, offering, give, and hospitality. Homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. So to have such a great being to be your spiritual guide or teacher, you will develop a lot of faith, a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude. That's why that puja will be very powerful. Then after that, what did he ask you to do? Yeah? After salutation, what did you chant? To the Buddha, you go for? You take refuge in triple chant. Why did he ask you to do that? You think just parrot. Badang saranang gacchami, damang saranang gacchami. If you don't understand, it defeats the purpose. But if you understand, this is for you to cultivate affinity with the triple gem. Because without the triple gem, in the Dhammapada verse, it's stated very clearly, there is no safe refuge except the triple gem. That's why you must take refuge there. Why? Why go to the triple gem? You know what a gemstone are? Yeah? They are the most precious of the precious stone. That's why it's called a gem. That's why a gemstone. That's why it's triple gem. The most precious among the precious teaching. Because within the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you definitely find the teaching. And it can bring about condition for you to train your mind and become enlightened. That's why the triple gem is the safe refuge. You go and read the Dhammapada, the Buddha said. There is no other refuge safe, he said. Not even high up in the mountain, in the cave, or in the temple. The only refuge safe is the triple gem. Because within the triple gem, the teaching is there, the Four Noble Truths is there. The Buddha is fully enlightened, he sure have the teaching there. Then the Dhamma is the teaching there. If you have affinity, the Buddha and the Dhamma means what? Every time when the Buddha arises, because you have affinity, you will connect. Understand not? Sammasambuddha. Unless you don't understand, when you take refuge, you half-hearted, you don't understand, you just chant like parrot, Buddhang saranang gacchami, no effect, understand? Got a little bit of mundane effect, but spiritually, no. But if you have the faith, sadha, virya, sati, and samadhi, and panya, and you chant with understanding, Buddhang saranang gacchami, means to the Buddha, means all of the Buddha, three period of time, I go for refuge. Understand? Means you cultivate affinity and connect to all, like Pusian. That's why it's called universal virtue. Means the Buddha of the three period of time, the entire universe. Understand? Then after that, the Dhamma. Whenever there is truth, where there is Dhamma, is like during the Sasana now, you will connect because you take refuge. Understand? That's why you must chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, means to the Buddha I go for refuge. Really, you strongly hold on to that refuge. No other refuge safe. Then to the Sangha, which are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, where they are enlightened, they also will have the Dhamma. Yeah. Then the characteristics of these great beings, yeah. Later I will read to you. The other thing is, after you take refuge, what did he ask you to do? You renew your five precepts. Why? Take care of karma. Who violates precept? The one with evil root, the deluded one, the heedless one. You check the precept. Panatipata veramani sika padang samadhi yami. What is the meaning? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living being. You ask this question through the three turning, second turning. Why did the Buddha say that? Then you inquire, who kill? What type of person will break that precept? Who will kill? Evil people, selfish people, greedy people, deluded people. People with the three evil roots, they will kill and harm. So what is the law of karma? If you act, speak, and think with an evil mind, a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Bear the other three evil roots, root of all evil. Suffering will follow you, like a wheel that follows the hood. This is Dhammapada verse 1. And this one comes from the law of karma. That's all. You reap what you sow. So that's why if you violate the precept, you commit evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's why the precept is to protect you, not to give you extra problem. Some people say, "Ayo, the Buddha, too many of these precepts are very difficult to keep. Like it's a burden to you." But actually, it's all compassion to protect you. You don't understand, but you go and complain. You say, especially lying, very difficult to keep. Sometimes got to lie. Salesman always tell me, if I don't lie, I cannot have a proper job. Do you need to lie to sell your thing? Why can't you be sincere and honest? Then some need to lie to their spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend. Why must you live life that way? It means what? You have ulterior motive. You are selfish. You have done something wrong, or you have some advantage or secret that you don't want to let your spouse or your girlfriend know. People who lie violate the precept, isn't it? The fourth precept, isn't it? Musawada, I undertake the training rule to abstain from telling lie and the four type of wrong speech. If you are sincere and truthful, why must you lie? You will become a better salesman if you are sincere and truthful. People will appreciate you, the wise one. And people like to do business with you because you are sincere, you are truthful, you never cheat and lie. So that renewal of precept is a meritorious action. When you keep your precept, means what? You protect yourself from evil. You follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. And because you protect yourself from evil, you also protect others from being harmed by your actions, speech, and thought. And through that, you purify the world. You don't pollute the world anymore through your actions, speech, and thought. And the world becomes a better place. And you reap what you sow. If you are kind and good to others, others will be kind and good to you. If you are evil, the karmic repercussion will come back and torment you. That's why you cannot escape. So, puja got such great significance and meaning. That's why when you understand, you will do on yourself voluntarily. And this is so important. That's why about, I think 48 years ago, 1971, when I read about the Four Noble Truths and come to understand this particular teaching, my mind was so strong, because this is life. It will help me understand the secret of life and I will know how to live. That's why I go all out priority to cultivate, just to develop this understanding. Nothing is more important. Of course, people will say, you have to make money first. No money, everything also very difficult. work for money first. But spiritual life is very important. Spiritual understanding is very important. No amount of wealth, material wealth, or materialistic happiness can free your mind. But ultimately, when you confront life without wisdom, the first noble truth, reality, when you confront them without understanding and wisdom, suffering will follow you. All of your wealth, your money, may not help you that much. Because your misery, your suffering, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and depression, these are mind activity, and you need wisdom, not money. So if you do not understand the importance of spiritual understanding to complement your mundane mind, your materialistic life, then your life is not perfect. You are still very vulnerable and very fragile. You know what is the meaning of vulnerable and fragile? One phone call comes, all of your joy and happiness is gone. One bad news. That's why you are very fragile. Very vulnerable to suffering. something happened to your health or your loved one's health, and also you become like completely afflicted. How come like that? That's why you are very fragile, very vulnerable to suffering, to misery. Without the spiritual understanding and the wisdom, is very difficult. So what I want to explain is puja is very important. So initially it's the basic puja, that's why we did for many years. Then now, after the Buddha Rupang come, installation, the condition has changed, now I will recite the salutation to the Triple Gem. You have to understand who the Buddha is, the Dhamma and the Sangha, and understand the deep meaning, so that when you take refuge, you take with understanding, and you vow and aspire to actually connect. And now I will read to you the qualities of these great beings. You listen attentively. I have shared with Wu Ping Jing third class, Sunday class and Tuesday, and your Thursday class, because we are going to take a break. This will help a lot. Okay. You listen. This is based on the sutra of innumerable meaning. Wu Liang Yi Jing, not Wu Liang Shou Jing. This is one division of the Lotus Sutta under the Mahayana teaching. This is very important. If you are a cultivator, a true cultivator, you must understand this, so that you can have the understanding to create affinity and connect to your aspiration and vow with all these great beings. And your path will be very, very much easier. Understand? I read to you, then you understand. Chapter 1 is on virtue. Virtue. The sutta said, true bodhisattvas are wise beings with great compassion. Their minds are tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of transcendental purity with wide and profound vows. V-O-W-S. They hold these vows unwavering for countless eons. When your thought project and say, wow, must hold this vow for one eon, you already complain. They hold for countless eons. That's why don't go and allow the thought to project. Otherwise, you can never walk this way, because there is a lot of insecurity, fear. Your faith is no more there. Having realized great wisdom, this one you listen, this is very important. That's why they are different. This type of great beings, they are different from normal enlightened beings. Having realized not only wisdom, no, great wisdom, no, they penetrated all laws and come to understand all the innumerable teachings of the Buddha, Sammasambuddha. They, the Bodhisattva, brings refreshing coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless compassion, they work to relieve and liberate suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings' true friends, mentors and guides. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessings. Without being asked, they offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of refuge, security and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precepts of purity, and they never break them, even at the cost of their life. They never become angry even when harmed, cursed or insulted. Now this is the best. Their mind abides in Dhamma day and night. They abide by their vows of saving the countless living beings and purifying the world of all negativity. So these are the great qualities and virtues of all these great beings, like Pusyana, Samantrabha, Bodhisattva, those who are going, even if you are not going. when you have the image of the one I sent through the WhatsApp at Ermesan, Jingting, the summit there, you make aspiration, you invoke power of your wholesome merits that you have cultivated since the time you have understood this Dhamma. That's why your daily routine, your puja, your meditation, your daily religious routine, before you sleep and after you wake up and in between, then the daily mindfulness, and your this cultivation, even attending all this session, they are very wholesome. That 2 hours is very different. It's continuous wholesomeness in a meditative state with spiritual faculty. And that nature is very different when you make aspiration and invoke all these merits. For causes and conditions to connect, to develop affinity, so that they will continue, their nature will continue to bless you, protect you and guide you. And when you determine sincerely, with understanding, with faith, it will come to be. Then, like Pusen's vow, they are very simple but very, very penetrative and powerful. And they are so beneficial to cultivator and living being. It seems in the sutta is mentioned, they can even help you when you connect to their nature. Clear all your karmic obstruction and impediment and develop wisdom very fast and very quickly so that you can fulfill whatever pure wish that you have actually cultivated and developed very, very fast. And all these are possible because they have great vows that merge with the nature's law. You may think, oh, like magic, where I can so easy connect, no need to cultivate everything. Connect doesn't mean you recite and parrot. Connect means through your spiritual understanding, spiritual faculty, you develop that faith, then you determine, and you really serious about it. Understand? That's why this is something that will bring forth your what they call understanding to help you in your cultivation. And when you cultivate with understanding, you shorten the time you need, and you can progress very, very fast, I tell you. That's why don't allow the thought to scare you. I cannot, I'm so child, I still don't know anything. When your thoughts say that to you, you lack faith. Your spiritual faculty, your sadha is affected. Understand? So, never allow all this to interfere. Just be sincere, diligent, have faith. Then what happens is, the reality is the reality. If you are sincere, you have the faith, and you can persevere, what can go wrong? Nothing in there. Without the thought, there is no fear there. You just do. And ultimately, the result will manifest. Why? Because great being has done it. What you are going to realize is chicken feet compared to their vow. Understand? They have done all of the very heavy and difficult vow, and yet they fulfill them all and become Samasa Buddha and great beings. For you all, it's a lot easier. Understand? Then you take it step at a time. By the time you understand, when you connect, there is so much joy. Then you realize this power is not what people think. It's not really difficult at all when you understand how to connect. You only need to be sincere, have the faith, and persevere. Is it that difficult, this reading? Yeah, I ask you sincerely. Is it that difficult? Not difficult at all. Develop the faith is so easy. And be sincere. This is a bit difficult. But for those who are very sincere, they want it this way, they will have it. Because you are very sincere. This is what you want. And you will sacrifice everything just to fulfill that vow. Understand? And you will have the strength of the mind to do it. Because you know all these great beings are there to help you. Understand? That's why they take the trouble to cultivate until their vows become part of nature's law. And the moment you connect, it manifests by itself. Like Kuan Yin don't have to be everywhere to save every being. Kuan Yin's love, compassion, wisdom and vow has become part of nature's law. Kuan Yin used to have this vow. Is that you recite her name or any of the four hao with sincerity, there will be a response. The more sincere you are, the greater is the response. And Kuan Yin has these three great things. The nature of Kuan Yin can protect you, guide you and bless you. That's why your cultivation becomes very easy. Yeah. I benefited from Kuan Yin's nature for countless aeons. That's why I can share with you and tell you that it's not that difficult. Okay? Yeah. So, tonight, now. Huh? Yeah. These are the things that we need. Did I answer your question fully? Only the first part. Don't try to allow the thought to interfere. Yes.
Yeah. When I'm with the breath, I just want some clarification. Maybe Brother Teo can shed some light. Is it the same as sustained thought? Because there's no other thought.
No, very different. You see, mindfulness is just awareness. There is no thought. You don't have to fix it there. Understand? That's why when you are aware, means what? You are in a state of relax. That's why the first support is relax, silent, clarity. Then you allow the breath to move on. Understand? It's just like you feel your breathing. You can feel it with your hand. Huh? The breath hit your hand, the warmness and all that. But if you use your mind, you're silent. You can feel this breathing going on. It's just like when your mindfulness develop and more refined, you put your whatever awareness at your heart. You can hear the heartbeat very clear. Pupa, 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 very clear. No need stethoscope, no need to like doctor put here like that. No need. Then every part the vibration. Then when you sleep also, every part that come to contact with the pillow or what, or the bed or the comforter, you can feel the vibration, everything going on. That is mindfulness. That is then don't try to know. Just aware, silent, relax. Every time you aware, the mind tend to focus there, sustain there. But if you continue to relax into it, then it will go in. Well, when you are relaxed, there is no sensual desire, there is no will to do anything. The mind is free. And the mind that is free trusts that nature. Then it will just do what it will do. That's why you just relax and silent. Don't try to know anything. Then the awareness becomes clearer and clearer, clearer and clearer, until it becomes very stable. Yeah. Then that sensitivity of that true mind is very different. Then you can understand a lot of things. Then the time, that nature understands itself. The Dhamma keep on arising. So Anapanasati also say, it's an initial skill for me to anchor the mind. So that when you are mindful of the in and out breath, you just do until you don't want to know anything. You just allow it to be. Don't even try to know, just do. Like swimming. Until one day you know how to swim, you will know what sati is. Then when that sati arises without thought, you will know one, because that one is very different one. Then that time you like can slow down everything. Because that time the breath become like long breath first. Very subtle. Then a lot of clarity. Just one in-breath. There is so much thing inside there. Then just one out-breath. There is so much thing inside there. Yeah. And so much clarity. The whole thing inside there. Because there is a deep. Then as this one progress, you continue to relax and silent. The piti sukha will arise very deep, very strong. Then after that, this mind will become very quiet, very tranquil and very still. Then you, like very easy to meditate. You don't need to train already next time. Yeah. If you have problem, then go and ask for forgiveness first. Follow the format. There's sometimes coming obstruction you cannot clear. You go and determine and ask for forgiveness. Then you pay respect. Do your bowing more and more. A lot of people told me they do bowing and early morning 10 to 15 minutes meditation. Maximum 20 minutes. Enough. You do it daily, then daily mindfulness they progress very fast. I have seen them progress very fast, and they give feedback during sharing Tuesday class. Then sometimes we'll bring things there. Thursday class also got, but a lot of them don't want to like officially share. They write to me privately. Because sometimes they have a reason. They don't want people to think that, oh, trying to show off or arrogant. It's not. Because sometimes the condition is such, it has to remain that way first. That's why you don't know what happened on. They can be very quiet on. But actually they already progress very, very fast. And they keep to themselves. But later on when it's time to share, they will know. And you approach them, talk to them sincerely. They will rejoice, then they will share with you. And when they share with you, you know what? Their understanding is so different from last time. It's not from the book already. And they can tell you how it can be done. So all this is part of real cultivation. Understand? So the mind try to know, want to clarify this, clarify that, whether I do it correctly or not or what. Forget about all these things. Just have faith. Sincerely do. Training means what? Every time this one wander off, bring it back. Forget about other things. Don't even try to know. Until the sati come. Until like swimming, you know how to swim. Then you will understand what I say after that. You have to do until the sati come out. Initially, it's like there is sati, but the thought active. Your intellect, you try to know. Still got thought. Still got thought. But the thought keep on wanting to know. How can there be no thought? Understand? Careful or not? Well, you use your thought, which is thought-based meditation, try to know. Still got thought. Still got thought. Understand? The day you don't want to know, then you just, with the faith, sada, virya, sati will come. Without any, what they call desire or craving or thought-based intention to develop it. Understand? When you don't look for it, it will arise by itself. Life is like that. You don't expect to strike lottery, the lottery will strike. But when you every time buy, you aim to strike, never come. So sometimes it's understanding. When you understand, you just let things be. The only thing you need is sincerity, faith. Continue to do. Then don't try to know. Don't try to know. That is really, really important. A lot of people, they have different understanding or conflicting understanding. I meditate to understand. Or how can you tell me not to know? To want to know. Then how to meditate? Then who meditate? Krishnamurti will tell you. Whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. And when you understand that statement, I tell you, then you realize, no wonder, cannot break free. Thought-based meditation, who is the meditator? Who is the meditator? Who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. And when the thought is active, how can you have sati, mindfulness? Understand not? That's why Krishnamurti very wise. Wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Your meditation is just silent mind, to understand what is going on. Not to judge, not to react. Krishnamurti defined very clearly. Sati is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is the reality. Choiceless, no. Don't go and react, stir your mind and judge and comment or choose. Like that, correct. Like that, correct. Should I do this? Prajati will say what? The Buddha say what? You are inside there chattering with your thought. You are not meditating. You're supposed to relax and silent. The first support. Relax. Silent. Second support. Awareness. Why don't you just do that? You go and read the blue book, the transcript, 12 September last year. It's all written inside there. Just like you have to read through and listen to the recording with faith. Then the Dhamma will go in. Then determine to cultivate. Every time you develop some understanding, reflect, contemplate, then determine to understand it clearly, then cultivate. When you cultivate your understanding, you progress very fast. Your old habit gone. You don't go and do all those things again. Because these are all thought-based conditioning from the past. It's okay because very difficult for most people to understand because a lot of them are conditioned by the way meditation has been taught over the last century or so. So you are not exempted unless you have your past. That's why when I first came out to share, it was so difficult for me to explain things. You know, what I had understood is totally opposite of what people usually do and accept. So how to share at that time? But somehow condition arise. Then things happen. That was 10 years ago. But for the first 15 years, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Well, there were no conditions. And it was so difficult for people to understand what truth is, what Dhamma is, the real one. Oh, you got another 7-8 minutes. You got another question? Yes, you can continue. Yeah.
Clarification.
No problem.
When I'm training the mind, so to speak, I follow your advice. Say, okay, let's not try to rationalize, you know. Don't just bring back. Bring back the awareness and follow the breath.
Now you add in. Don't try to know.
Don't try to know. Okay.
Just do. Like swimming, jump into the pool and let yourself learn.
I only try to understand this when I come out from the training and just try.
That one you can. You can reflect and contemplate. But when you are doing, are you completely relaxed and just silent?
When the completely following the breath, yes, it is.
Then what happens?
Follows, then
what
I feel like, you know, feel like very light.
Very light, very,
very
peaceful.
And very peaceful.
But during that time, if you don't go and think or try to know, you will become very beautiful. You will progress very fast. But the trouble is when this thing happens, the thought will start to come in. This is what Brother Dio say, very peaceful, very quiet. I can feel my heartbeat and so on. Joy. It's okay to have joy immediately, but don't be distracted, understand? And the next key one is don't be complacent, understand? Complacent means what? I can feel my heartbeat already. Complacent means contented. After that, no need to meditate already. Keep on telling people, I can feel my heartbeat already. Feeling the heartbeat is just the beginning. You need to relax into it, silent, and allow the thing to be until that mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then you will understand what that silent mind is, what that true mind is, what that nature is. Then the moment you connect and you know how to relax, the trust comes in. Nobody do meditation at that time. That time the mind is completely quiet. Then you will do itself. Then you will detect the gateway. Then that time, when the moment the gateway is detected, you move like anything. Now it's very easy because a lot of this great being's nature is around. Then with this Buddha Rupang, you just silence your mind, have faith, relax into it. Later on, do lying down meditation. You remember Sumeru, the monk, lie down over India continent. That posture, lie down. That is the best posture. That one will stabilize the sati. That's why when you do formal meditation, there are two parts. First part is to train. Then you stabilize it. And the best posture to stabilize is completely relaxed, lie down. Then you just let the thing do. Don't try to know. Means what? Like you dead. A dead man cannot do anything there. The consciousness want to do this. Sometimes itchiness. Sometimes the thought comes on and you say, no, I am dead. Don't let it move. You see how you endure. Itchiness also no need to scratch. You see what happens. Then you realize that craving, that defilement, that condition you to scratch to do all these funny things, these are defilement. This is the thought trying to control you, condition you into activity, everything. When you understand, then you know mind is mind, body is body, because the two are connected, trapped inside. Understand? Then it conditions each other. Understand? Then later on you realize there is another nature inside that decides. Understand? Decide means what? That nature understands that these two, form and mind, are tools and vehicle to serve you. Karmically conditioned out for you to use. Understand? And learn how to use it. Don't let it condition you and use you. Understand? And make you miserable. Understand? When you use the mind to live life, you become beautiful. Understand? This mind that is trained listen to you. Understand? Correct? Like I say, I want it to be silent, it's silent. I want it to be relaxed and aware, it just do that. I miss what? You are trained. This mind listen to you. Understand? And that is a heedful mind, not a heedless mind, without delusion. Understand? Train. You know train, huh? You train a dog means what? You tell the dog, sit. Sit, isn't it? Stand, stand. Throw the bone, run. And that is train. You say, sit, the dog run. What type of training is that? Means your mind is the same. Anapanasati, split second gone. Split second gone. Means he don't understand what you tell him. But like the dog, initially he cannot understand, never mind. You show. Sit, then you squat down. Then he will look at you. And then after that, you say, sit. Oh, he squat. Oh, he said, yeah, good. Then you give him food. Or then the dog wag the tail. Then next time you say, sit, he understand you already. So this mind is the same. You tell the mind, you listen to me, no suffering. You don't listen to me like the dog. Kena wag. Ask you to sit, you run wag. So they will learn. Because after you have an hour of suffering, the mind will wake up. Because it doesn't have wisdom. That's why it's heedless. It will arise the delusion to entangle, to grasp, to cling. Then be afflicted. Otherwise, you are very peaceful. That mind is very easy when you understand. So train that mind. The moment it's trained, it becomes different. Then you use it to live. Then life becomes so beautiful. That's why the Buddha said the untrained mind is a devil's workshop. You know what is a devil? Evil being. The evil being take over your mind and create a workshop inside there. So how? The devil's workshop. Devil is capable of what? Evil things. That's why you got a lot of evil roots. A heedless person is very evil. The evil roots are the roots of all evil. It makes you very evil. A selfish person is very evil. There is an evil root. An angry person, jealous person, emotional person is very evil. But these are evil roots. Then a deluded person, fearful person, very, very evil. Because these are evil roots. That's why the Buddha says greed, hatred, and delusion. You must not have it in your heart. You must root it out. You must arise the right effort to abandon them. Or just silence your mind to be aware that it will cease to be. Yeah, these are all conditioned states. Anger is never you. Condition arising. Selfishness is never you. Emotion, fear, worry, and anxiety is never you. Just through your wrong view, delusion, sacrality, you stir your mind and react. Where you think you are real. You think there's a living being inside there, a human being. A thinker behind the thought and all those things. Can follow that? Oh, very good. Now more head knock already. Sadhu. Actually, I rejoice. This year I saw a lot of progress, and that is the greatest gift you have given my nature, I tell you. I also do with a lot of joy. Whether you understand or you don't understand, I still do. But when I saw the result, this nature rejoiced. You know what happened? You all fatat. Because it was sent pure wish. We are in need condition for things to happen. If you are sincere, if you have the faith, this nature will know. It will send you pure wish. It will help you training and progress. This nature cannot discriminate, understand? Cannot say, I know that I am in time longer, it is more close to me, I give more blessing. If that nature do that, it don't understand. It can never do like that, really. There is no thought inside there. The understanding just manifests. it just acts spontaneously. No condition, nothing. Even my own family member or people who are very close to me, no condition, nothing, no dhamma. But got condition, people of my don't know also, I will share. Okay, we better stop. Oh, 10:32. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will do our sharing of marriage, transfer marriage. So after this, 1 month break. So those who want to have a look at this album, you can. It's quite a well-documented album. Then you wait till that day, I explain. But if you are not there, maybe listen to the recording. Then you assume which picture or which photo of the album that we are referring to. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasaka cha pumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatkalena patihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Excuse me. We will do the aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mabe bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu,
sadhu,
Yeah. Yeah, for today is Brother Lu and Sister Sito, Brother Chin Hao, Sister Lian, Pamasuri, and Brother Tune, and Sister Monica. So let's just say sadhu to them.
Sadhu. Okay, maybe for those who are not going to the 19 October gathering of Kalamita, you can come. And those who want to see also can come. Get here. I just go through quickly with you all, so that at least you understand. Okay.
Brother Teo can make one announcement.
Ah, can. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, next year's Brother Teo's retreat in Cameron, the original date is March 21st to 29th. So there's a request to move it back 1 week earlier, which is March 14 to March 22nd. Okay, I'll write down the board. There's already now 52 that has confirmed going. So if you have not, then you please let me know early, or else you'll have to drive there yourself.
Okay, those who want to see, you can come. Huh? So this one is the product of mainly Tune and the wife, Padma Suri. Huh? They managed to get a shop or Photoshop to do it up, the album. Huh? So this particular first photo is supposed to be the ending. Huh? All Kayanamitas, they wish me Ayu Wano Sukang Palang. So I also wish you all the same. You understand the meaning, huh? Ayu, long life. Eh? Wano is fair complexion, beautiful complexion. Sukang is happiness, you must have them. Then Palang is strength. Eh? Strength means spiritual strength and physical strength. Then this is Kuan Yin. Then this is one of the photo they got. Then after that is the first one. We're supposed to have a puja, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, and Namo Sanghaya. Then we chant Namo Kuan Yin Pusa, because my nature has a lot of affinity with Kuan Yin. So with deep gratitude and thanks for Kuan Yin's blessing, protection, and guidance all this while. Then after that is the tribute that Kayanamita did. So this one is called The Story of Our Teacher. A tribute to Brother Teo from Kayanamita. All of you are part of it. It's okay. Can. Never mind. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. So these are the photo of my primary school. Oh, sorry, secondary school. I was so surprised. Oh, my photo are very old photo, very lousy. But the Photoshop can make it better than new. It turned out so clear and so beautiful. These are Form 4, Form 5. Then these are other photos. The green one is me. So this one, I was part of the school band. I played the side drum. I also blow the flute, but I'm more expert in the side drum. Pin will know. Ours was the first band in Kedah. My school was the first. Ramachandran, the teacher, still around. We met him last year. He was the teacher from another school, Alo Jangus. The HM and the education office brought him here to start the band. Then this one is with my classmate cycling. Simambat, Cheng Lian Aichu. This one is Sadhu. Thank you so much. That one is football. But they add in. Body and mind move as one. That time I really got Dhamma. I don't know how to develop Sati. But they really would like to share that Dhamma with you. Then this one is the trip that I make to KL in Singapore. Then this one is while playing Chinese chess and carom. I was the school champ. Karam, I was the college champ. that college, they got this Karam championship. This one when I was first graduate from University Malaya. The younger days photo. These are undergraduates while I was studying there. then these are the earliest part of college life, university. Then this one is a field trip that I took with BJ. Then this one is to Taman Negara. You can see Mi Fong was also there. These are the photos from her. Then this is my cultivation when I was in Thailand. This is a cave, very nice. This is a temple near the vicinity of this cave, somewhere north of Thailand. Then this is Australia and New Zealand, the katina. Ajahn Yantra, we were sewing the katina rope that died until next morning. That time 1989-90, quite young, 36 years old. That time my faith and my Dhamma very, very good already. That's why I travel to do all this. These are my son, I think. My son. Then my son and my daughter. This one is novitiate program. My son, my daughter. They are underage, but they somehow managed to join. There were conditions behind. Then this is a house done by Ajahn Dusadi. Then this monk is Jirasato or Vimala Ramsey. He is the abbot of Damasuka, USA. Then this is some of my teachers. This one is Ajahn Yantra, came to my house for Dana Viravamanda. So this one also part of the contingency. Then this one is Ajahn Ganha with my mother. Then this one is the Angkor Ku, I told you, the Christian. That became Buddhist later. He spoke to me for 3 hours where he wants to meet up with my teacher, Ajahn Yantra. Later on, he became very strong faith in the Buddhist. He was a Christian. Then this is Chief Raman. Ramanda. Master San Hua, my refuge teacher. Then this is the Prakhu, nephew of Long Po Tet. Then this is Chief Raman. Then this one is my second last teacher, a lay person. Then this is Ajahn Ganha. This is Long Po Mahabhuwa. He invited us into his private meditation place and rest place. This is Ajahn Yantra, my teacher. Then these are the spiritual cultivation while we were at various places. This is Thailand. This one is Batu Arang. I think some of you all know him, Lingam. Lingam, the owner there. Then this one is Cameron Highland where I make my vow, aspiration. Then this one is Thailand. These monks are good monks. This one also very good monks. Then this is the tape library, Brickfield. Then the, what they call Sangikadana, Brickfield. Then this one is Uthaisan, Puthosan, and Chihuasan. Huangshan, sorry. This is the first trip to China. We visited Puthosan, Huangshan, and Chihuasan. So these photos are some that we took, then they put it in there. This one is the international seminar in Bangkok. They invited me over to give a talk. So this one is me. So this seminar took place last year, 2013 August. So this was the president that actually hosted the thing. So this was the photo when I delivered the talk. Then these were the people whom we were with. Sui An, Mi Fong, they all. I think Chuan and Joanne, Padma Suri, Tiung didn't go. Then this one is Bukit Phrases. My first retreat with the Subang group. Earlier on, I had a few with my first group. Then this one is Cameron Highland, the retreat place we had. 2013-2014. This is San Bao Si. So here is the mountain. Kan San Si San. 看山不是山，then 看山又是山。So they put in this Dhamma. The first seeing is mundane seeing. Mundane people will perceive it as mountainous. But when you develop wisdom, you have the direct seeing. There is no word, no thought, no concept. So you see things as they are, the direct seeing. There is no mountain. But when you penetrate it, when you understand everything already, then 看山又是山 means what? When people say it's mountain, it's still a mountain. Because you meet more of the mundane people. But when you meet the enlightened one, they say, no mountain. Yeah, no mountain. Means it has become part of your understanding. You no longer reach it. You no longer hold on to your views. So it depends on the condition. When people without wisdom, they say, 看山是山. Yeah, 山. This one is our Anandagiri, Achanachalo, then this is a Thailand trip. This is our spiritual trip to Taiwan, very nice. We visited this four great traditions of Taiwan, Ciji, Zhongtai Chanshi, Fo Kwang San, and Fa Ku San. These are all great traditions of Taiwan. This one also another one in Taiwan. And this one also Taiwan. These are the Kayanamitas. Then this one also same. I think this one is Fo Kwang. Fo Kwang. Fo Kwang San. Then this one is from Fa Ku San. Then this one is Tuesday class. My house. Then this one is also part of Tuesday class. Then this one is our Thursday class. Dhamma sharing. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Then this one is also our Thursday class. This is Wu Ping Qing Se Sunday. The Kuan Yin there very beautiful. Then this one is Tiratana Clang Talk. This one also Tiratana Clang Talk. They got a very beautiful Kuan Yin image there. Then this one is when we were having tetare with Kayanamitas. Then this one is our monthly gathering, the Dana. The first one is at Yip's place, I think. Then after that is at this Padmasuri's house. Then this one is Christina's house. So this one are the four support for meditation. Then these are the three things you must have to walk the path. Then this one is very beautiful. This Kuan Yin is from Rayong, Achayananda. This is Joy's house. We do our chanting. We practice our chanting for our coming visit to Thailand, Anandagiri, the enshrinement and consecration of Kuan Yin statue. Then this one is Ciji, Kepong. Then this one is Sumeru visit, our recent one. Sumeru. Then this one also Sumeru. This is Maitreya Buddha. This is also Sumeru. Their main shrine. The main Buddha Rupang. And this is also Sumeru. Maitreya image there. This one my wife and my daughter with me. And this one is the Kuan Yin Lake. The pond there. And this is Sumeru. We had our second visit puja at Brother Lim's private meditation place. He was so kind to allow us to have it. Then this one is the receiving of the Sakyamuni Buddha Rupang from the limb of Sumeru. He offered this. Then the installation takes place on the same day. That's why it's 20th September 2014 is very significant. Then exactly 1 month later is our gathering of Kayanamita, 19th September. So these are very wholesome. Then this one is our official puja at our Thursday class, the first puja after installation. Then this one is our Tuesday class puja. Then this is your last photo just now we mentioned. So that summarizes everything that you need to know. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.